Good morning. Welcome to the Blacklands Cafe. I'm John Mark Dempsey. Have a cup of coffee on the house. It's Friday, November 22nd. On this day in history, of course, 50 years ago today, on November 22nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. In his last speech early that morning, President Kennedy spoke to the Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce.
2 years ago, I said that introduced myself in Paris by saying that I was the man who had accompanied Mrs. Kennedy to Paris. I'm getting that same sensation as I travel around Texas. As I said earlier, on three occasions in the last 3 years, the United States has had a direct confrontation. No one can say when it will come again. No one expects our life will be easy. Certainly not in this decade, and perhaps not in this century.
Here's the bulletin that was heard on Dallas's most popular radio station at the time, KLIF, the mighty 1190.
This KLIF bulletin from Dallas, three shots reportedly were fired at the motorcade of President Kennedy today near the downtown section. KLIF News is checking out the report. We will have further reports. Stay tuned.
And about an hour later came the official word that the president had died. This is Walter Cronkite on CBS.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
Another notable passing on November 22nd, 1963, the author and Christian philosopher C.S. Lewis. On the KETR events calendar, a community Thanksgiving dinner takes place from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day at the First United Methodist Church of Commerce. It's a traditional meal of turkey, dressing, green beans, homemade sweet potatoes, and pie. This annual tradition is hosted by the Commerce Faith Community. For a ride or delivery, please call the Methodist Church office at 903-886-3220. That's 903-886-3220. 3220 by Monday, November 25th. The Community Thanksgiving Day Dinner, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday, November 28th at the First United Methodist Church of Commerce. For more information, see events at ketr.org.
Good morning, and this is KETR News Director Mark Haslett, and this is the Blacklands Cafe. However, for today's broadcast, we're going to do something a little bit different. John Mark Dempsey, the creator and regular host of the Blacklands Cafe, is going to be in the guest chair. The reason why we're turning the tables and having John Mark as the guest on his own program today is that, of course, today is the 50th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's assassination in Dallas. And a connection that John Mark has to the event is that John Mark edited a book which is called The Jack Ruby Trial Revisited. It's the diary of jury foreman Max Causey. And John Mark, if you could begin our discussion today by telling us why you chose this topic for an editorial project.
Well, Max Causey was my uncle, and he was the foreman of the jury in the Ruby trial. And when I went to the University of North Texas in 1998 as a faculty person, and like all new faculty people, you're looking for publishing projects. And I knew he had started a diary. He kept a diary during the trial and had started a book, as a lot of people do. And I spoke to my cousin, and I said, look, I know your dad, and Max had passed away not long before this. I said, I know your dad started writing a book. And what about if I take over what he did in the diary and see if I can develop this as a book project myself? So I took it to the UNT Press, and they liked it. So the book is Max Causey's diary and the writing that he did about the trial. supplemented with the research that I did and the writing that I did.
So for those who aren't as familiar as many of us probably are with this story, perhaps some of our younger listeners, Jack Ruby was the owner of a nightclub that was frequented by Dallas police as well as members of the Dallas mob, the organized crime in Dallas. There are those who say that Ruby and Oswald had common connections. So what did you learn about those alleged connections when you were working on the book? And what's your personal opinion of that today?
Yeah, the trial had almost nothing to do with any of that because Ruby's attorneys and Melvin Belli was a famous attorney at the time and still is, I suppose, decided that he would plead temporary insanity and claim that that Jack Ruby suffered from something called psychomotor epilepsy, which caused him to do these bizarre things, just act out in very impulsive kind of ways. Jury didn't buy it. They convicted him of murder and sentenced him to death. Trial was later overturned, and Ruby died in jail, had cancer, and never went to trial again. So the trial really didn't have very much to do. That never really came up. All those connections supposedly with the mob, and Ruby know Oswald? That may have been referred to in the trial, but it was not a major part of the trial. My own feeling is that, you know, there's all kinds of loose ends. There's always mysteries. Walter Cronkite said this at one time. There's always mysteries surrounding anything if you delve deeply enough into it. And Lord knows this has been delved deeply into. My own feeling is, having read a good deal about this, apart from my own, little project, Ruby just did this impulsively. And I could go through the details of this, which we don't really have time for, but it appears that he did this on impulse, which is how he did operate. And there was something to the fact that he psychologically had this characteristic that he acted very rashly and impulsively. And this is basically what he did. He was, and I think most people know this who have any interest in this thing at all, if he was going to be down in the police station to kill Lee Harvey Oswald, he should have been there about 20 minutes earlier, because Oswald was going to be transferred at 11 o'clock and Ruby got there at like 11:20. So Oswald should have already been gone. And Jack was down the street calmly placing a Western Union telegram or sending wiring money to one of his girls who worked as a stripper in his club. And it so happened that they were late in transferring Oswald.
Before we're done talking about it this morning, just want to ask you, at the time you were about, 9 years old?
That's right.
So how do you reconcile your experience of that time as a child and the impression that it made on you looking back at it now as a grown man? What are your feelings on the 50th anniversary of the tragic event?
Well, of course, personally, it's just hard to believe that 50 years have gone by. I share the feeling of a lot of people that's sort of a watermark, that's a watershed, that where the country changed. And boy, did the country change fast starting in the mid to late 60s. Still, even at the time, I was very well aware of that. And I do think this hastened that along. It was a Pandora's box and opened up a lot of things, some of which may have been the things that came about were good, some not so good.
Definitely lots of chaos and change over the decade that followed with, as you said, some good, some not so good. Whatever one's opinion about the events before or since, you can certainly say that the country's never been the same.
Well, thanks, Mark. And you're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.